We're going to share with you this morning just some principles of why Jesus came. So powerful is the coming of the Lord. Radically changing. Throughout this world, people today are celebrating the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many of them are having Christmas and have no idea what Christmas means. They think that a good man came, that a teacher was able to share. But that's not so. Either God is who he said he is, or he's not at all. And he said that he was God in the flesh. In your Bibles, if you have them there with you this morning, Luke chapter 1, verse 35, it says, the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. That's what the angel told Mary. In like manner, that angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Jesus' coming, not only is it something that is experienced, but it is something that was foretold. One of the greatest proofs in all the world that Jesus is who he said he was is the prophecies of the Bible. The prophecies of the Bible are 500 years old, 1,000 years old prior to the coming of God. And I would like any one of us here to possibly in any way predict what will be happening in 1,000 years from now if Jesus tarries. But that's the way the prophecies of the Bible are written. In fact, there was over 350 prophecies that were fulfilled in Jesus when he came. In fact, it told him the very week that he would come. It would tell him the very town that he would be born in. It would tell when and the conditions that he would be born in. Over 350 of them, prophecies, 500 to 1,000 years prior to the coming of Jesus, predicted that. Now, the predictions today that I will be struck by lightning is 1 in 10,000. That's 1 with 4 zeros. The possibilities of 8 prophecies being fulfilled in Jesus for his time, purpose, plan, way it happened, why it was happening. The probabilities of 8 of those prophecies out of the 350 would be 1 and 1 with 17 zeros applied. Although it's 1 and 4 zeros that I will be struck by lightning today. Now the probability that 48 out of the 350 would happen in Jesus is 1 to the 1 and 157 zeros. Can you imagine? Now, what is the probability or the odds of 300 of those 350 prophecies, like I said, telling week, time, place, date, all of it, of it happening in Jesus? There are no odds that are that high. Truly, Jesus is the Son of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, there's 4 reasons. There's approximately 50-some-odd reasons why Jesus came. And if there's another person on earth, there's another reason why Jesus came. But there's 4 main reasons why Jesus came. And I'm going to start with number 4. And that fourth one is to show us how to live. Jesus came to show us how to live. If you ever wonder how to live, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It will tell you how to live. The third reason, is taken from the fourth down to the first. The third reason is defeat evil. Jesus, the Word of God said in the book of Acts, he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Because we could not defeat evil. But Jesus came to overpower evil. And those that believe in him can have that same power. The second reason that Jesus came was to redeem us back to God. To pay the price for our sins and to reunite us as it was in the garden with Adam, to reunite us with God. But I just want to talk to you about probably the first reason or the major reason that we have far as biblical scriptures that tell us why Jesus came. And the first reason was to show us the Father. So that we could see the Father. Now in Hosea chapter 2 verse 20, you see, because God the Father had been so abused by the people that were supposed to love Him, unable to see Him correctly. God's heart was almost like the heart of Shrek, with such a big heart in the Nickelodeon movie. Such a big heart, but the world viewed Him as so bad. And out of that heart of God, He gave us Hosea 2:20, and this is what God's heart says. You can almost feel the tear in God's eyes. God said, I will be faithful to you, and I'll make you mine. And you will finally know me as the Lord. Now that word Lord there is a capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. In the Hebrew language is the word Jehovah or the word Yahweh, which simply means this is the way I am, or the God of love. God said that you've missed me. You haven't been able to truly see me. And truly through the Old Testament scriptures, it's hard to see God. Because the Old Testament scriptures is the revelation of the sight of God through the flesh. And that's why it's given out in stipulations and guidelines and regulations and feasts and all of that. It's truly hard to see God the Father right through the Old Testament. Because we misunderstand. And now in John chapter 17 verse 3, it tells us why that Jesus came and said, this is eternal life. Jesus came to give us eternal life. But notice what He said, that you might know you. That's what He said to His Father. He said, God, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Now this word know is not a knowing of knowledge. It's not being able to keep all 10 commandments and feel like you know God. The word knowing is to experience Him. It's that word that deals with intimacy. And God, and this is what Jesus prayed to His Heavenly Father. He said, Lord, I've come to give them eternal life that they may finally, 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 finally know you. Philip said unto Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? Can't you hear the heart of God? You don't know me. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? The reason that Jesus came to reveal the Father was two major reasons, and they're in your little bulletin there today. The first one was to reveal the Father's love. And then the second one was to reveal the Father's gifts that He had for us. I want to talk to first and for just a few minutes on He came to reveal the Father's love. The enemy has so lied to people and so caused such flesh separation, and unable to find God by following rituals of the Old Testament. People saw God as mean and angry and hard. And I don't know how you see God today. You may feel that God's that big person with a baseball bat just waiting for you to mess up so He can clobber you. I want you to know that's not the right view of God. Jesus came to reveal God, and He came to reveal God's love to us. It's like the Father up in heaven, it was screaming through Jesus, that's not the way I am. That's not the way I am. This is the way I am. I love you, and I care for you. The view of the Father had grown so grotesque. That's why when Jesus came, the religious leaders of that day would not accept Jesus. Jesus was demonstrating love and healing and helping and caring, and even crying at people's graves and loving and caring for people. And they had seen the Father as hard and mean and angry. And some way Jesus did not demonstrate that to them, so they refused to accept Jesus. The Word said that God sent Jesus so that instead of the lies that the devil had put into the minds, and still the devil tries to put those same lies into your mind, That's why through the slightest failure, you feel like God will never love you. I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. And it does not matter what the devil has coaxed you into. God still loves you deeply. Amen. We would see, that was the will of the Father, because we could not, some way could not see the Father. The Father kept trying to draw us up to see Him. So finally the Father said, I will come down to see you. So finally in my face, you will see my deep love for you. Every healing, every miracle was to reveal the true view of the Father and His willingness to help in every situation. Truly what the Father was doing in Jesus was hugging the world with His love. Amen. Now in Colossians chapter 1, we see this over and over again as God tells us this. And in verse 15, he said, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Christ is what? Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. The God that I can't see. Jesus said, I've come to live with you so you can see me. Bible said He existed before anything was created and was supreme over all creation. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 said, the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. In fact, this word expresses in the word Greek what it means, a direct mold. Jesus was poured into His flesh, His life was poured into the direct mold of the Father. Every crease, every movement, every yes, every healing touch was the Father loving and healing and trying to share with the world the loveliness of Himself and the willingness of Himself to help and to heal. Now His love is revealed through what we call the five I wills. The I wills. And this is what Jesus came to reveal to us. It was the revelation that I will be with you. So that you that are lonely this morning, you don't have to wonder whether God's there. He said, I will be with you. The second revelation of His will is, I will heal you. You never have to doubt whether God is. The Bible says, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. God's will is to be with you and to heal you. The third will, Jesus said, I will deliver you. The fourth will, I will watch over you. I will care for you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. The fifth will, I will listen to you. God the Father revealed His love through Jesus. With I'll be with you, Jesus said. I will certainly come and heal you. I will certainly come and deliver you. This morning, no matter what bondages that you're facing, no matter what temptation lies in front of you, you can know this. God's will is to be with you and to deliver you and to help you and to love you and to bring you out of that fog and to bring you into a beautiful place is the will of the Father. I will watch over you and I will listen to you. But not only did Jesus come to reveal the love, Jesus came to reveal God's touch to us. That's why the Bible says that Jesus can be touched with the very feeling of our infirmities. The picture of this is as a father seeing a burning house and knowing that his children are in that house. And that loving dad will defy all odds to rush into that house to just touch his child. If you ever wonder whether God can feel you, then you remember the pain that Jesus went through. Every pain that Jesus experienced was so that the Father could finally not only love you, but he could touch you. He could feel your weaknesses. God the Father having never known weakness. And the reason that Jesus was born in a stable, the reason he started out in the meager way that he did, the reason that he was crucified, the reason that he was beat, is so God the Father could feel your pain. Because, see, it was your pain that he bore. It was your pain that he carried. It was our agony. And the reason it had to be made so hard for Jesus, because your life gets hard at times. Your life gets difficult at times. But he experienced pain for every man, every woman, every lonely child, every hurting daughter. Jesus experienced that pain. And now today, you have to wonder, God can feel your pain. But God, unlike me in the sense that he is still God, I may can feel your pain or have an empathy with what you're going through, but Jesus is not empathy. God the Father is not empathy. It's a compassion. And compassion is that dad that will run into that fire and whatever it takes will rescue his child out of that. Compassion motivates him to move. Compassion motivates him to heal. Compassion motivates him to help. Compassion motivates him. So wherever your house is burning, whatever is laying at the possibility of loss, know this, God is running. God is running. And he's running right into your depression. He's running right into your discouragement. He's running right in. The difference with God and me is I can have empathy, but I honestly can't help anyone, even myself. But I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm here to point you to one that can have compassion. And not only can the great compassion of God have empathy, but he can have compassion, movement over what you're going. The second thing. Jesus came to reveal the Father's love and to reveal the Father's touch. Jesus came so God the Father could feel, so he could hurt and understand hurt, so he could feel the pain that you're going through. But the second reason that Jesus came to reveal the Father, because the Father wanted to give us some wonderful gifts. And he entrusted that gift with no one but his son Jesus. And Jesus came to give us multiplicities of gifts. One of those is the gift of salvation, which we are so thankful for this morning. I don't know about you, but I didn't have to work a day for my salvation. It was a gift that God gave to me. The second gift that God, that Jesus came to reveal to give to me, was the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's why you and I, in the midst of our weakness, we don't have to wonder whether we're going to make it through, because God's grace, God's power, his Holy Spirit comes inside of us. Where there used to be God in heaven and we're on earth and we was desperately trying to get through and we had no power, but I'm here to tell you what, God has power to give you to make it across the finish line. Whether that finish line is a success in business or a success in healing or the happiness in a marriage or happiness with children, whatever that is, God's power is now able to be in us to get us across that finish line. And the wonderful thing about it, not a one of us can take glory for it. I look at me and I'm still a mess. But I look at God and I say, God, you've done well. You could take a mess and you can make a message and you can make a masterpiece out of that mess for the glory of God. And then the third gift that Jesus came was the gift of blessing. Just bless us. The Bible says it like this: every good and every perfect gift. Oh, I want you to know that Jesus is far better than Santa Claus. He don't have a list and he's not checking it twice. Far better. But God the Father wanted you to know he loves to give you things. He loves to give those things into your life that there's no way that you can gain. And all he asks us to do is simply to trust him as being the good father that he is, and to simply believe in him and being the good father that he is. He loves to give you. He loves to help you with struggles that you can't win yourself. He loves to fight for you. I mean, I tell you what. He loves for you to get in a battle that you can't win and let God the Father just step in there on your behalf. Some of you wondering this morning, some of you wondering, will I ever make it? Will I ever be through with this depression? Will I ever be healed of this cancer? Will this difficulty ever stop? Will I ever find the right person to marry? Will things ever work out in my life? Will things eventually work out? Will I ever be a success? I'm here to tell you, if you're trusting God, that's God's plan for you. It's for every good and every perfect gift to come down to you from the Father of lights, of whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning in your life. Amen. Praise God. Now I'm going to just kind of real quick going to stimulate your thoughts. We're fixing to move into an altar time. Now I'll be honest with you, altar time can be here. I always say that altars are a language God understands. But the amazing thing about it, the altar can be right there in the solace of your own heart. Right there in the quietness of your heart. God meets you. He loves you. That's why Jesus came so far. We're talking about people that take great trips. There's never been a trip like God's trip. When God came from heaven to earth just to let you know how much he loved you. Never been a trip. And this morning, I'm here to certainly tell you that he will certainly walk to your aisle. And he will certainly speak to your heart. What is it that you need God to do for you? I'm here to tell you God loves you. And loves you so deep. Some of you came into this place already knowing because you wrote it on your little card there this morning. Now, the wonderful thing about it, that card does not have to mean anything to anybody but us and God. I'm just here to tell you, you don't have anybody to please but God. We're all set on trying to please everybody and trying to make it, but I'm here to tell you, you don't have to please anybody but God, and God's only interested in pleasing you. God loves you so much. God wants to help you, help you, help you, help you, give to you, give to you, give to you, fight for you, fight for you, fight for you, and strengthen you, and help you. That's what God wants to do. If you have it written on your heart as we begin this song, it just simply says, I come to the altar, I'm going to give you an opportunity. You can take that little card and you can even turn it up toward God, but I'm going to tell you what. He reads whether you're down or wherever you are. You may have it hidden in your Bible, but he still reads it. But I want to invite you that some of you that need to make a step to bring those simple cards. Others of you, maybe it's the gift of salvation you need, or maybe it's the gift of the power of the Holy Spirit. Some people may say, you know, Jerry, I'm experiencing a real deep need in my life. I just need the strength of God. I'm here to tell you he wants to give it to you. So he has the power of the Holy Spirit ready and willing to help you. Come in. Then others of you, you may just say, Jerry, I just need God to work out my whole life. I'm here to tell you he will do that. If you will trust him, he will do it. If you will trust him, he will do it. If you will trust him, he will do it. So either respond to the Lord there in your seat, open your own heart to the Lord, or maybe respond to the Lord and walk into the altar. Because it's not between you and me, it's between you and Him. And the only ones God cares about is you and Him this morning. He's not caring about what you do to please me, but He is caring about what you do to please Him, and He's concerned about what He does to please you. Go ahead this morning.